Are you exhausted from trying to explain yourself, defend your name, and prove that you are right? Today, I want to show you why Romans 8 says no accusation can stick to you when God himself is the one who justifies, and how that truth can set you free to lead, love, and stand in the public square without defensiveness. Let's dive in. Welcome to Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, a couple housekeeping items before we get into our series today. I am convinced God is the one who justifies. Item number one, if you're enjoying these daily devotions, subscribe, like, share, and comment. You can comment things like, hey, I'm listening from Spokane or driving into work from Seattle. Or I'm in Wenatchee or up in Colville, whatever it might be. We want to know where you are listening from, and that does really help us have some comments in those different areas that this word of God is going out, and that brings us to the top of the algorithm, and people around you will get the word of God. Number two is, if you're in the Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. You can download that app at the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, Washington Defender, and that is a place for conservatives to meet up, to huddle up and to create ideas, grow spiritually, grow in what's happening in the legislative session, take action in their school boards, just so much that you can do in the Washington Defender app. And finally, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. Your generous support helps us change hearts so that we can change the public square. So that's our goal. The goal of FPIW and FPIW Action is to change a heart so that we change the public square. Our mission is to defend and advance biblical values in the public square. So when you think about each and every day, if we walk into that day with a heart that is refreshed and rejuvenated by the word of God, then that's going to change how we interact at work, how we interact with those around us, how we interact with maybe someone we consider to be our enemy, whatever it might be. It's going to change each and everything. And so that's what we're doing. And we can bring those biblical values into it. So let's dive into the word of God. I am convinced God is the one who justifies. Romans 8, 33 and 34. We're going to read the scriptures overall and then we'll break them down. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Romans 8, 33 through 34. So I have a question for you. What does the word justify mean? Think about that. When you hear the word justify, I know the old adage, just as if I'd never sinned. Okay. Well, let's break down this word in the Greek a little bit. It's the Greek word dikaio, and it really means to justify. In the case of dikaio, it means to bring out the fact that a person is righteous. It must be clearly understood that in the New Testament, the verb dikaio is to justify never means to make anyone righteous or to do away with the violation of the law by himself bearing the condemnation. In other words, I didn't make myself righteous. That would be self-righteousness. That would be self-justification. We don't do that. I mean, we try to do that, but that's not how we're made righteous. We are made righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we should have an imposed sentence upon our life. But when we stand before the courts of heaven and before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's looking for the blood of Jesus Christ, the payment of his son Jesus Christ on that cross, and the resurrection in our life is what justifies us. So we're going to look at a couple examples of how God takes that guilt of the penalty of our crime, our sin, that condemnation, and he makes the payment, thus removing the penalty that we're supposed to have and the condemnation of hell. Example number one that we're going to look at is the lawyer. And the lawyer comes to Jesus and he begins to ask this question about how does he inherit the kingdom of God or eternal life? And then towards the end of the story, he says that he's wanting to justify himself, self-justification. And I actually believe that you and me, that we have the same struggle that the lawyer has, that we oftentimes want to justify ourselves and establish our own righteousness instead of allowing what has been imputed or placed upon our life through the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's read the scripture. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? And what is your reading of it?" So he asks him two questions. He says, "Hey, what's written in the law?" And then basically, "How do you understand it?" So the lawyer answered and said, "Well, I look at the law and my understanding is that you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you're to love your neighbor as yourself." So that's the lawyer's answer. Then Jesus says, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Now, when you look at the lawyer's answer and you look at Jesus saying, "Hey, you've done it right. If you do that, 100%, love God and love others, 100%, you're going to live." Now, is that possible? No. We need the blood of Jesus on our life to cover those times when we don't love God or we don't love others. So the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said, "Who is my neighbor?" So the lawyer is claiming to have a love for God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all that he is. But he wants to justify himself. And this is where the question that we started out with, who can bring a charge against God's elect? When you understand it's not self-justification or self-righteousness that allows you to stand in the presence of Almighty God or protects your name, but it is the blood of Jesus Christ, you will begin to be so much more free in your leadership. Whether you're a legislator, a business owner, a father, a pastor, I can't tell you how many conflicts that I have stepped into to help people reconcile, and self-justification or to be justified in the eyes of man is the key component or the leading driver making the conflict much, much worse. So he wanted to justify himself. And then when you look at that story in Luke, I believe it's going to go into the Good Samaritan story. I'm going to check that out real quick. Yep, it goes right into the Good Samaritan story. And Jesus then asks, you know, who's the neighbor? And he says, go and do the same. So when we look at this, the idea of self-justification, like this lawyer, we can identify with this. Well, another example might be the Pharisees. And so also the Pharisees, to whom the Lord said in Luke 16:15, we'll go through the scripture in a minute, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. You have set yourselves forth as righteous, as if there is nothing wrong with you if you were to stand in a court of justice." So the Pharisees, you know, they had the same problem. And quite frankly, we have the same problem as Pharisees. Some of us need a Pharisectomy, right? Where we cut out that religious garbage that we have and we say, "Hey, God, here's my self-righteousness. Here's my self-justification." And it's so beautiful, isn't it, God? Look what I did. I did my devotions today. I did my prayers today. I did my good deed today. I helped the Good Samaritan out today. I fed the poor. I did all these things whatever it might be. We need a Pharisectomy that says no. Now, it's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Luke 16:14. "Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart.'" So remember the question, who can bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. We're working on that principle today. And these Pharisees, who could bring a charge against God's elect? We justify ourselves. That's how they would answer the question. Look at how religious we are. And part of the answer here that Luke documents is God knows your heart. "For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Have you thought about that? What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. He brings out for us this very, very fact that we, through our self-righteousness, our self-justification, cannot please and honor God. We need a payment outside of ourselves. We need something that will move upon us and cover and say, no more condemnation for you. You are declared righteous, not by works, but by faith through grace in the Son of God. So the Pharisees had the same issue. Now, let's look at John the Baptist. Used in the same way, in the same sense, in Luke chapter 7, verse 29, stating that the people recognized that God acted justly in sending John the Baptist to preach repentance. So John would go around and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. And he would, you know, cry out as one in the wilderness. This was an indirect recognition that indeed man needed to repent. So when we look at Luke 7, 29, when all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledge God's justice, okay? So the people, probably the Gentiles, and the tax collectors, definitely the Gentiles, heard this. They acknowledge God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. So John's yelling, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, repent, repent. And they said, God is just, and we need a savior. We need someone to step in. But look at what the Pharisees did. But the Pharisees and the lawyers, interesting. We just talked about those, right? Rejected God's purpose for themselves. What did they do? They rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. So the purpose of God was that these Pharisees and lawyers would be baptized by John the Baptist and repent of their sin. For the kingdom of God is at hand. But they rejected that. That's Luke 7, 29 and 7:30. So let's talk about this question. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? So we need to think through this today, because we can find ourselves like the lawyer, like the Pharisee, where we're rejecting God's purpose for our life. And so defensiveness can step in to the very areas of our life, because we want to be right and declared righteous in the sight of men right now. You may be going into that marketplace, that workplace, that wherever, and you are headed into a meeting, or you're headed into interaction with your employees, or you're walking into that legislative branch as an elected official, whatever it might be. And the question will be, will you go there and allow the blood of Jesus Christ to pay for your sin? Or when the charges come against you, are you going to stand there in such a way that you are trying to justify yourself and say, no, I didn't do that. I didn't mean that. That wasn't my heart. That's blah, blah, blah. And you get defensive. And that defensiveness breeds more defensiveness. The reality is, who can bring a charge against God's elect? You have been elected by God. You've been chosen. We just read that God foreknew you, he predestined you, he called you, he has set you apart, and eventually he glorified you. And so we see that there's nobody. If God says that you are set free, then you are set free. Now, this doesn't mean that if we break relationship with God or we break relationship with others, we shouldn't repent and ask for forgiveness. This doesn't mean that we act self-righteous and somehow, you know, have pride in our heart. This does mean that our joy is not lost because our circumstances are pressing in on us. This does mean that we recognize that the cross is big enough for each and every one of our sins, and that we are not justified by works or the works of the law, but we are justified by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, who made the payment of sin for you and for me. God justifies us. God is the one who justifies. You are not justified by, you know, how good of a leader you are. You are not justified by how good of a citizen in the United States you are, or in the state of Washington you are. You are not justified by if you're a perfect manager or a perfect boss. You're not justified by any of those things. You are simply justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, because of that justification, you want to do things that honor and glorify God and love your neighbor. Do you see that? The idea that you are working up to be all these things instead of the idea of God has done a work in you and you are propelled by Almighty God to go out and bring glory to Him. Defensiveness is gone in the name of Jesus because Jesus has paid the price. So God is the one who justifies. God is the only one to declare a person righteous. God is the only one to declare all violations are done away with. So when you go through your day today, you begin to understand protecting yourself, standing up for me, it would be the noble name, is not the primary goal. Bringing honor and glory to God Almighty, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to be surrounded by His presence and to say, you know, I get it. I fall short. I make mistakes. And these charges that are brought against me are not going to pierce my identity in Jesus Christ. They are not going to rob me of the joy of knowing who God is. These charges, these allegations, these whatever are not going to generate defensiveness in me. Why? My sin has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, am I telling you to own things that you didn't do? No. But I am telling you that your joy is not lost because of allegations or charges brought against you. And you say, well, how do I change? Could you imagine walking into committee today in Olympia, knowing that you're human, but you're a human that has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine what would change if all of us didn't try to justify ourselves, but lived and walked in the justification that is bought through Jesus Christ? You are justified by Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, we know all across the state of Washington, charges and allegations and all these things are going to come at us. Lord, we proclaim today that our joy is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. We don't dare trust anything good inside of us or anything that would try to propel us to do it in our own abilities. We only trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Help righteousness and holiness flow through us today because it's there through the faith and grace. We thank you for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.